This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom. You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
It's time for On Target Radio, Chicagoland's only radio show dedicated to educating, entertaining, and discussion of firearms, legislation, and your Second Amendment rights. Presented in part by the Illinois State Rifle Association, Action Target, and Safer USA. Now here's your host, firearm instructor, educator, and enthusiastic Second Amendment proponent, David Lombardo.
Welcome to On Target Radio, America's voice for the Second Amendment. I'm your host, David Lombardo, and sitting up, standing across the council from me is Tim Dalen. Tim, say hi.
Howdy, everybody.
There we go. Howdy from Tim. You wearing your cowboy boots, buddy?
I do have boots on.
That's what I was afraid of. Okay.
I have to wear boots because of what comes from across the other side of the counter.
Yeah. Okay, every Sunday, Tim and I, well, every Sunday I'll be here. Tim's life here may be short. We'll be here from 9 to 10 p.m. every Sunday night talking about all things Second Amendment, and it's your opportunity to call in, talk to our guests, give them a hard time. We'll take your questions at 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600, or go to Facebook, like our page, On Target Radio, and you can ask questions there.
Yep, we're watching it, waiting for you.
We are indeed. But first, we have David's Rant of the Week.
Ah, is it good?
I thought so.
I supposed to read that?
Here's the interesting thing. I've gotten more feedback on this than anything we've ever done.
Good.
Yeah. My brother-in-law was the first one, and he said it was pure crap and that I could do better, and this was hack stuff. And I got over 100 others saying, greatest thing you've ever done. So it's 1 to 100. I sort of gauge it.
There are 100 people that never have read what you've written before.
I'm actually serious. And I always gauge, when I get his email, the more he criticizes me, the better I know I've done.
Good.
And
yeah.
I get lots of cool email from everybody else.
Right.
So it's cool. You know, I get it. So here you go. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So when are we going to take back America? When are we going to be fed up with the incessant stream of liberal misinformation designed to reshape the American psyche? The Messiah, his four horsemen of the apocalypse, the lawless firm of Bloomberg, Biden, Feinstein, and Schumer, Chicago's Mayor Emanuel, and the rest know damn well that AR-15s account for an infinitesimal percentage of gun violence in this country, but eradicating the AR-15 is their raison d'etre for the year. The point is liberals will simply lie to further their agenda. Facts be damned. Even worse, they incessantly attempt to insinuate their dogma into our collective consciousness. You think this is much ado about nothing? Think again. Take Sandy Hook, for instance. Immediately, the White House took it up as a cause célèbre to eliminate those nasty assault weapons that killed all those children. How embarrassing when the autopsy reports indicated they weren't involved. No problem, just lie about it. Most recently, we have the terrorist attack of the Boston Marathon. At the onset, the Messiah went on television and flat out refused to call it an act of terrorism. What in God's name would setting off two bombs at a marathon be other than an act of terrorism? Worse, he said we would find out who was responsible and why they did it. Why they did it? Does anyone with moral compass points sharper than a butter knife even remotely care? They did it because they're homicidal psychotics. They should have been caught and immediately strung up from a streetlight, though the fact that the first moron was shot so many times the coroner couldn't count the bullet holes does have a certain amount of appeal. In the aftermath, after the Muslim extremist brothers were dead or captured, Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke condemned conspiracy mongers who blogged the bombing was perpetrated by the government to further curb civil liberties. Now, I don't have a problem with calling out loose wingnuts on either side of the aisle, but Hupke missed a couple, all of whom were radical liberals. The smoke hadn't cleared in Boston before the liberal propaganda machine went into overdrive. Chris Matthews of MSNBC said, domestic terrorists tend to be on the far right. Lawrence O'Donnell, another MSNBC propagandist, said, the NRA is helping the Boston Marathon bombers get away. These are quotes. Michael Moore publicly alleged the Tea Party was behind the bombing, and equally irrelevant actor Jay Moore blamed it on the gun culture and said the Second Amendment must go. While CNN analyst Peter Bergen announced right-wing extremists are to blame for the explosions, the most telling pronouncement of all came from David Sirota of Salon.com. He wrote, and this is a quote, Let's hope the Boston Marathon bomber is a white American, unquote. Well, boys and girls, that's it in a nutshell. Anything to further the agenda, even when it's a lie. Admittedly, these fools are the detritus of truth, but the media lets them fill dead air and white space, and that lets them reshape the American consciousness. And then there's Great Britain's gift to America, Piers Morgan. Morgan, a particularly annoying, whining commentator, threatened to, I quote, deport himself if the United States did not dramatically change its gun laws. Excuse me, Pierce, baby. The Messiah lost the assault weapon and large-capacity magazine ban wars, so shouldn't you be booking a flight to the mother country? He's oddly silent about his promise, which once more proves liberals have plenty of mouth and little spine. So I ask the question again, when are we going to take back America?
Morgan is just as bad as the rest of them. You know, if
if
you don't like it, get out. Why are you here? Go away. We don't need you. You're here to make a buck. All you're doing is trying to make money. You're trying to make a big mess, trying to make a big noise. You're trying to make a buck. Get out. We don't want you.
He is what it is. So there we go. Tonight, we have a very interesting show. Tonight, we're going to talk about the history of Chicago gun confiscation. Please call us at 312-642-5600 and voice your opinion. We have in the studio tonight Wayne Weiberg. That's right, Weiberg, right?
Correct.
Okay. Retired as Chicago Police Department commander after 38 years, he commanded the first Chicago Police Department gun team, which set records of gun seizures, including one incident where 76 handguns, 10 machine guns, 23 hand grenades, and a cluster bomb was recovered and the person arrested. I don't think I saw that in Vietnam. Detective Alan Jaglowski,
yes,
got that right, didn't I? He's a retired Chicago police officer who was assigned to Area 4 Violent Crime Unit and has extensive experience dealing with firearm cases, gun seizures, and violent crime. And Ed Ronkowski, an old friend, is a retired Cook County Assistant State's Attorney who worked in the criminal division. Gentlemen, thank you all for being here this evening.
Nice to be here.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
How did the gun unit actually get started? Alan?
Well, the gun unit was started many years ago in the 80s, and it was done to try to slow down the rate of violent crime and the gun crimes. And they chose specific people, and Captain Weiberg can really talk more about that because that was his unit at the time. But it was a unit that was needed because there were crimes specifically that had to have that attention, you know, for gun violence.
So, Wayne, you were in it at the beginning, right?
Yes.
In fact, you were telling us you really kind of were instrumental in the actual starting.
Right. What originally had happened was the chief of patrol wanted to create a small unit to be visible within the community when the tactical teams, which were being pulled out to handle other details. So the first night that I was there, I had 10 officers, two of which were gang crime officers. And during the course of the evening, two of my officers made an arrest for a gun on a legitimate gangbanger, and I says, you know what, maybe that's what we should be doing, and that's what we directed our attention to, and we were very successful, in my opinion.
So the gun unit, unlike things that I've heard people say, weren't going door to door taking guns from law-abiding citizens. You were out on the street trying to pick up illegal guns.
Yes, and we were fortunate enough to be through what I equate as the good old boy network. A friend of mine from ATF worked with us almost on a regular daily basis, and in conjunction with them, we were very effective. But we didn't go after people that had legitimate registered firearms in their house. We went after people that were illegally carrying, transporting, or possessing firearms.
Okay, you are listening to AM 560, The Answer. This is On Target Radio. We have on the telephone right now is Kevin. Kevin, you have a question?
Yes. You know, I'd be curious. I was reading in the paper now if... they're having a big problem passing this Illinois concealed carry thing. No one seems to be getting along in Springfield there. What else is new? But, you know, now if it's not passed by the date it's supposed to be passed, they're saying that anyone with a Ford card basically is going to be able to carry a gun. Is
okay.
That true? Or?
Kevin, we'll answer your question. Thank you very much for calling. Guys, do we have an answer to that?
Yeah, the answer is on June 9th, it'll be constitutional carry concealed by court order.
Now, could there not be a stay on that?
Yes, they could apply for a stay, but unless there's a stay done, it'll be constitutional carry concealed by court order on June 9th. If you have an FOID card and you stay away from airport zones and other prohibited zones, you get to carry concealed in Illinois.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, Ed. How about cities or towns be able to exclude themselves from that in any way?
No.
Okay.
Not from a constitutional, right?
If the legislature doesn't pass a bill, the cities and towns cannot use their home rule to overrule the appellate court opinion.
Okay.
We've got about 30 seconds left. What is the largest number of guns that you ever confiscated at one time?
Well, my Chicago team, we executed a search warrant out in Maywood, Illinois, and we entered a very nice residence owned by one woman and her 8-year-old daughter were living there. Up in the attic, we recovered 76 handguns, 23 hand grenades, 10 of the weapons were fully automatic, and a cluster bomb. She was employed by the Army Corps of Engineers, and when we went to trial, she received 4 years felony probation.
Just a kind of a nice little old lady.
You know, she wasn't a nice little old lady. She was actually, I venture to say, probably in her 30s. Her problem was, not what her problem, but she had a husband that was, or excuse me, a boyfriend that was in federal prison.
Well, what we'll do for love, right, Ed? Anything for love. We'll be back with more On Target Radio after these messages. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association. Supporting you.
For 35 years, Pelcher's Shooter's Supply has served the Lansing area. Pelcher's offers new and used firearm sales, appraisals, and gunsmithing service. Pelcher's new spacious showroom has hundreds of major brand firearms and supplies, and PelcherGuns.com features daily specials. Pelcher's Shooter's Supply, on the corner of Ridge Road and Henry Street in downtown Lansing. Online at PelcherGuns.com or call 708-474-0662.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
And this segment, Tim is holding a gun to my head here, so I am not going to forget that we're starting this segment with Tim's Fighting Back.
As brought to you by the Illinois State Rifle Association. A resident pulled into his driveway about 5:30 p.m. in the 100 block of Rebecca, according to Houston Police Department. Police said as the man got out of his vehicle, a gold Lexus sport utility vehicle pulled into the driveway behind him. Three men wearing masks and armed with guns got out of the SUV and demanded that he give them his car keys and other items. As the victim handed over what the men wanted, they ordered him to lead them into the house. The resident's friend was inside the house at the time and, fearing for the victim's safety, fighting back, he opened fire on the suspects. One of them was wounded and collapsed as he tried to run away. He died at the scene. His name has not been released. The other suspects drove away in the SUV. No description of the suspects was available. A Harris County grand jury is expected to determine what, if any, charges will be filed against the resident. This has been Fighting Back, brought to you by the Illinois State Rifle Association.
There you go. Don't I get any kind of a prize or
something? I had to prompt you like 20 seconds before we got back.
Okay.
And you forgot. Admit it. You forgot, didn't you?
I never forget you, Tim. I never forget you. All right, you're listening to On Target Radio, and we have in our studio this evening Wayne Weiberg, who is a retired Chicago Police Department commander and was on the, he actually formed the Chicago Police Department gun team. Detective Alan Jaglowski was also a retired Chicago police officer who was assigned to Area 4 Violent Crime, and old friend Ed Ronkowski, retired Cook County Assistant State's Attorney. We're talking about the history of Chicago gun confiscation. What'll get a gun confiscated?
Well, typically what happens is somebody ends up calling the police because somebody knows somebody that has a gun and they get mad. That person does something silly, whether they take the gun and wave it around or anything like that, or they just tick somebody off. And all of a sudden you'll be visited by the police. And if it's something simple, the gun can be, you know, they can confiscate the gun, charge the guy with something, you know, relatively easy. But again, you know, it's somebody that, you know, sure enough, you know, if it's somebody that does something stupid, that's what's going to lead the police to you.
Now, we know that there have been otherwise honest citizens that have gotten clipped over firearms, and that has happened, and I want to ask Ed about that in a second here. But is there a group of people who wander around the city of Chicago and just take guns away from people, law-abiding people?
There were area gun teams that got a reputation for doing that. Now, how many they were able to get, I don't know. And the sad part is that what they would do is they would look at the gun registrations and they would see people that had guns and think that they might have more. The problem is that's an easy arrest of somebody that doesn't deserve to be arrested. We, as a police officer, so police detective, if you deserve to be arrested, I'm more than willing to arrest you. Just because you have a gun in your house doesn't mean you should be arrested. And even, and I'll go one step further, if there is a concealed carry, just because you're carrying a gun does not mean you should be arrested. There's more than enough decent people out there that need the protection. They have to carry a gun.
Is that happening today, that sort of a tactic of just wandering around picking people off like that? Is that still going on, or is that history?
I think it's more history, and it's going down in the amount of, you know, things that happen like that. But it's something that was done.
Ed? You were bobbleheading over there, so I know you got something to say about that.
L's statement about using judgment on these cases has really hit the mark. That's what law enforcement is about, and it's on the street and in the courtroom. Sometimes you have a law-abiding citizen who forgot to, like, renew his FOID card, and all of a sudden he's now in a courtroom, and they're asking to have him plead out to prison time. That's not what the system is about. It's not about giving felony convictions to law-abiding citizens who make a mistake and are late in their renewal of their FOID. It's using judgment, and that's what's missing in Chicago on a lot of these cases.
Well, and that's what separates seasoned attorneys from people who graduated from law school and have no experience, because the law looks black and white when you read it. But the reality is the law is really not black and white. There's room for prosecutorial discretion, for instance. And we know our prosecutor in Will County has come out very strong about carrying a concealed firearm and saying he wouldn't prosecute somebody.
The rank and file assistant state's attorney uses his discretion when he's given it. Unfortunately, in the years that I've been in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, they come out with these rules that you cannot plea bargain down a gun case without permission of your boss, and your boss wouldn't give you permission because he wants to build his statistics up to look good. So you'd have to find other ways to do the right thing.
Exactly.
And the right thing is not always giving everybody a felony conviction. It's doing the right thing.
And not only is it not always that, you're tying up resources that could be used for something better.
In our courtroom, we had 1,000 felony dispositions a year. 20% were gun cases. 200 cases a year. That's a lot of resources. And you don't want to waste it on somebody that doesn't belong in a courtroom.
Might I interject something? One of the things that I found when I had the gun team is on New Year's Eve, I would take my gun team out for the full purposes of arresting people who believe that they have a lawful right to stand in their gangway, stick their hand out the window, and fire a handgun.
Shoot a gun in the air.
Exactly, to celebrate a new year. The first year I went out, we covered 1 square mile within the Pilsen community. And within 1 hour's time, we had 18 people in custody and 35 guns because they thought they could lawfully do this. And when you're out there and you hear all this, and I mean there's a lot of firing, at first you think you're in Vietnam. And then the realization sets in, well, they're not shooting at me. They're shooting at the sky, whatever.
Well, they're basically shooting at everybody. Because what goes up must come down.
And
right.
Invariably, every year, there are people gone to the hospital because they went to throw the garbage out at the wrong hour.
Yeah, and got hit in the head.
Or shot.
Yeah, it's weird. We're talking about the history of Chicago gun confiscation tonight. You're listening to On Target Radio. This is AM 560, The Answer. And we are the answer when it comes to the Second Amendment. I have a question. Do you guys work with federal agencies? Either one of you, do you work with federal agencies on this stuff?
Myself, I have. ATF agents are, in my eyes, they sit high in my hog, and I go back a long way with them. And when we had, when I had the gun team, that was one of the priorities, is I definitely wanted to work with ATF because we could move. It was a stronger enforcement. We could send people to the federal penitentiary on a conviction. I was involved with what a program called Project Safe Neighborhoods a few years back, and they were putting, they targeted specific areas within the city of Chicago, primarily on the south and west sides, and they went after convicted felons, and they were putting people in jail. And at that time, from when I read the last internet a couple of days ago, they had reduced the violent crimes, the homicides, by 34%.
So it had an impact.
It did have an impact.
What happens when you confiscate a gun? Let's start with somebody who's actually breaking the law. So it's somebody that's black and white. You know that they're going to be convicted or should be. What actually happens to that gun?
Well, in the old days, I can tell you, going back a number of years, I mean more than 20 and 30 years ago, there were instances where the guns were actually turned over to some of the police. Judges would do that. That's not done anymore. I mean, and it's good that it's not. But the gun can be destroyed. And what they'll do is they'll, once the destroy order comes down from the judge, that gun is supposed to be taken and either melted, and at one time they used to also dump them in the lake. And
they,
you know,
dumped guns into.
They dumped guns in the lake.
They don't do that anymore.
No,
no.
I was going to say my scuba diving card is still good.
No, they're, I believe they're all, they're melted down.
Do they dump them right with the shot from the shotgun thing there on?
Yeah, but by Fullerton Avenue. Right?
Now, before they do anything like that, the person would have been convicted. It's just not, we confiscated guns, so we're melting
that's,
it down.
No, that's actually not true. There are people that, if they weren't convicted, the gun still would be taken away. If the person had a right to have a gun, that gun could still be kept. It would be destroyed, you know. And sometimes when they were kept, they were also used for demonstrations in terms of going out and showing guns or whatever the case may be.
See, I always heard that, but I never really actually thought that a law-abiding citizen, for whatever reason, say he had bought a gun, she had bought a gun, they were taking it to the range, they were carrying it to the gunsmith to get fixed. If they were pulled over in a speeding ticket or whatever, the police officer found it, they take it, and they would still destroy it.
Theoretically, they should get the gun back.
It's
a
property,
lot of times,
private personal property.
Yes, but a lot of times, if you want to get that gun back, you're going to be paying a lot more for an attorney than it would be to go out and buy a new gun.
Only in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer, and we'll be back. In fact, right after these messages with Mr. Pearson.
Some people shoot beer cans, some shoot paper plates, and some, well, some just shoot the breeze. Here at Action Target, we believe there's more to shooting than just putting holes through paper. As the world leader in shooting range design and technology, Action Target has been revolutionizing the world of firearms training for more than a quarter of a century. Go to ActionTarget.com to order your steel targets and range equipment today. That's ActionTarget.com.
For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association. Supporting you.
Hi, I'm David Lombardo, host of On Target Radio. You're living proof that radio advertising reaches listeners. In the 2 years I've been advertising on AM 560 WIND, Safer USA grew from 300 students a year to over 1,200. By coupling our On Target Radio broadcast with our Facebook page, we found our audience is steadily growing, and in only 2 months, it appears we've exceeded 5,000 listeners. Over 34% are in the age group 25 to 34, 26% are 35 to 44. We have listeners listeners from Rockford to Western Michigan and Southern Wisconsin to St. Louis. Thanks to live streaming on the internet, we also have listeners as far away as Germany, Japan, and New Zealand. On Target Radio is offering low-cost sponsorship opportunities on Chicago's premier conservative talk radio station. Advertising on AM 560 WIND has worked for Safer USA. Let me show you how it can work for you. Call 815-744-5487. Join the On Target Radio team today at 815-744-5487.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
See, Tim, we're getting stuff now on Facebook. They like the rant.
Yeah, but you know both of them.
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't know. That was a low, cheap shot.
We have six people that listen. You know two, and I know four.
There you go. That's it. In this segment, segment three, we're going to have Richard Pearson, the Illinois State Rifle Association Executive Director. He's going to update us. And Richard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you? How about you?
Well, we're doing good. We're here just waiting for your pithy words. In fact, we have a question from you already. Can you believe that?
For you.
Yeah, where does fire go when it goes out? Things like that.
Oh, you read the question. You're on Facebook. Kevin on Facebook would like to know about House Bill 1711.
1711.
Where I guess I know the House passed this the other day, taking away the powers of arrest and carrying a concealed firearm away from mayors and aldermen.
Well, it passed the House. It didn't pass the Senate.
Right. Is it going to the Senate in the next couple?
You know, for a long time, the aldermen outside of the city of Chicago or mayors, if they want to carry a firearm, have to take a 400-hour course in the state of Illinois. But the ones inside the city of Chicago, because of a local ordinance, just have to say, I want one. So the idea is to make it fair and square for everybody. So if they don't want anybody to have firearms in the city of Chicago, then the aldermen shouldn't have them either.
It actually wasn't a question of being fair and square. It wasn't just sort of putting the screws to them a little bit?
A lot.
I love to see that. So tell us, what's going on in Springfield? You know, everybody's asking what's going to happen with concealed carry, and it's so messed up with this bill.
Well, you know, what happened was, first of all, let me explain what happened. We actually had enough votes to pass concealed carry with the 71-vote margin. But about 2 o'clock on Thursday, you know, we started hearing from the floor, you know, getting messages out that the governor's people, Lisa Madigan's people, the speaker was calling members in, Alvarez's people, were talking to the legislators. Now, one thing you have to understand is a lobbyist that represents groups like the Illinois State Rifle Association or Peanut Butter Makers of America, whatever, are not allowed to go on the House floor. But if you represent Lisa Madigan, the governor, the speaker, of course, senators, you can go on the House floor. So we're locked out of the chamber, but they are not. So once they go in there, we can't talk to them unless they come out, which they don't have to do. But those people can go around and work everybody on the floor and make whatever kind of deals, threats, whatever they want to do. That's one of the things that really irritates me about our system of government is that we have a two-tiered system. We have the government taking care of itself, and they don't have any rules, and then they got the rest of us. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway.
So what does it look like?
Well, it looks like they broke down a lot of people. You know, they hurt them bad. You know, they threatened them. That, you know, there's very little that they won't do to keep concealed carry from passing. So we'll be back there next week. The House, by the way, is not in session next week, so don't worry about it. The Senate is.
But here's the question, I don't understand this. There's no logic to it. Why would they intentionally torpedo a bill when on June 9th, that's it, game's over?
Well, that's a very, very good question. What they want to do is they want to force us into a May issue situation, and we're not going for it.
Yeah, Richard, I would say that, you know, I already think, as I think a lot of other people in this state do, that we've already given them too much. We gave them too much, and we don't want to give them any more. So I really don't want to see any more.
Well, you say you give them too much, but you got to look at the arena where you are. You know, the first thing we have to do is have to get some kind of a decent bill on the books, and then we can work at it in future years.
Well, really, yeah, 15, 20 years from now, it just seems what we...
Next year or following year, you know, 2014 is coming. Every gun owner to remember that, all right?
What I don't understand, though, is this. They don't have any capital in this thing. When you say they're trying to force the Republicans into a May issue, if the Republicans just hold hands with the Southern Democrats, there is no issue. It's just constitutional.
That is correct.
I mean, are they stupid?
We are at a standoff here. We can force it over the edge.
Do it.
Yeah. Remember,
there's lots of ramifications to say do it.
What are the ramifications?
You got home rule powers, and you got the people who think the city of Chicago is a kingdom. Not subject to the rules of the United States.
So you're saying that cities would have home rule?
Absolutely. So that's a problem.
Under constitutional.
Well, you have to go to the Supreme Court on each city to find that out.
Right.
Oh, so
next time you got $45 million, let me know. We'll do it.
So they would go ahead and say it, even though they may not have any stance,
those
and then they'd have to
have
sue.
Have no compunction about passing laws.
And then arresting people for it.
Right. But here's their theory. If you look at what they're saying, I'm hearing this more and more. Go ahead. We're going to take your rights from you. And if you want them, you'll have to sue us to get them back.
And why not? Because they have a limitless budget.
Right.
With our tax dollars.
With your tax dollars. But more than that, they have no morals, no ethics, you know?
No. Richard, as always, we thank you for being on with us.
All right.
Have a good one, my friend.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks.
We'll be back with more On Target Radio. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer. I'm David Lombardo, president of Safer USA, Chicagoland's most popular firearm training school. We continue to offer our popular home protection and concealed carry seminar every month. This 8-hour seminar covers everything you need to know to safely and legally use a firearm for both concealed carry and home invasion, and qualifies you for Florida and Utah concealed carry permits good in about 30 states. Be sure to call and ask how we can help you raise funds for your organization or provide a guest speaker. We're also offering the NRA Basic Pistol Course and our Tactical Pistol 1 and 2. As always, I offer private one-on-one instruction for basic pistol, Chicago firearm certification, and basic home defense. For further information, please call 877-954-3030 or go to saferusa.com. Safer USA, choosing to own a firearm is your business. Teaching to own it responsibly is ours.
That's 877-954-3030 or saferusa.com.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
You know, we were talking with Richard Pearson earlier, executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association and a lobbyist in Springfield. And one of the things that came up was the government, Anita Alvarez and all of the people, Rahm Emanuel, all those, essentially have an unlimited budget. I mean, they say they're broke, but they can take the money any way they want and use it against law-abiding gun owners on ridiculous charges. And I'm not arguing good busts. I'm saying these trumped up things. But there are teeth that we have. Is that not right, Ed?
That's correct. The latest thing that they're doing in the Second Amendment field is if a individual has his Second Amendment rights violated, they file 1983 actions in federal court.
You have to explain that.
That's if your civil rights are violated, you file under Section 1983, and that brings you into federal court, gives you jurisdiction. And if you win in federal court, the judge is required to assess the municipality, county, or state, whatever government agency violated your rights, attorney's fees. And in the case of McDonald, it was something like $750,000 that the city of Chicago had to pay the attorneys. And these guys are getting reimbursed $300 to $500 an hour. Your lawyer. They love it.
And there's more than one lawyer.
Yeah. So what happens is the cities, if you file a lawsuit in state court, they may drag it out because they have more resources. If you file in federal court, they are fearful that if you win, they have to pay your attorney's fees. And it's big dollars. Attorneys don't come cheap.
Neither do expert witnesses.
Yeah.
Just tucking that in the back of your mind is all. That's all I'm doing. I have a question. In all the years you guys were on the street, what did you learn, if anything? Is there anything, any insight into this whole, you know, the bad guys and guns and gangs and everything?
Well, what I learned is that evil people do evil things, and you're never going to keep an evil person from committing a crime. It's just going to happen. There are a few people that have to commit crimes because of financial needs or something like that, and I can understand that. But people, when they commit the crime, they want to hurt somebody. They want to do something to somebody, and they don't care. There's no incentive or disincentive for them because they're not going to jail like they should. They're not being prosecuted. The gangbangers with the guns are not the ones being prosecuted. And that's the important thing to remember. If they had to go to jail for years instead of just going to court and maybe sitting in Cook County Jail for a while, it might change the entire dynamic.
From my observation, several things. One, back even 8 years ago, and I don't doubt that it has changed, getting a gun by a gangbanger is easier than buying a pack of gum or finding a store to buy a pack of gum or a pack of cigarettes. Secondly, there's a large contingent of people that are selling guns, buying guns and giving them or selling them to people that have no right to them. And these people are actually invisible from enforcement by the Chicago Police Department and or ATF. Nobody's going after them. We had one gentleman a few years ago. He bought 3,000 guns in the state of Illinois. 3,000.
Straw purchasing?
Some of them were, some of them were not. And he was capable of converting. That's the ones when I recovered those fully automatic weapons. He converted those weapons from semi-automatic to fully automatic, and he made the hand grenades. One individual. When I walked into that house out in Maywood, I said, if there's one house like that, sadly enough, there's probably 10 more. That was back then. There are probably 100 more now, just like that. And these people are getting these guns, and nobody goes after the one that buys them. And they're as, to me, in my eyes, they're as accountable as the individual that pulled the trigger.
So advice to the current regime?
Go after the people that are buying the guns illegally and prosecute them with the federal government. Unfortunately, on a scale of 90, was it, Ed?
They did a study in the federal district court in Illinois. Surrounding Chicago and Cook County had the lowest rate of gun prosecutions in the nation.
Well, and that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer. We're talking about the history of gun confiscation, and we've got about a minute left. What would you say the most common gun-related crime is in the city of Chicago?
I would think the most common one would be probably an armed robbery. And then the second would be just miscellaneous gun offenses. But I would think the armed robbery would be the most prevalent.
I would have to agree with Al, but I also believe that we had 512 homicides, and that probably is not as many robbers we had armed, but it's 512 homicides, and a good portion of them are with firearms and primarily, in fact, most of them handguns.
Well, and as we close out the show, I want to ask a question. They're after AR-15 carbines and that type of thing. My understanding, looking at the stats, in 2012, one person was killed with a long gun. In 2011, one person was killed with a long gun. They're always telling us that's the weapon of choice. What is the most common firearm now? You got 5 seconds.
I would say the 9mm or the 40mm or 40 caliber. Those are the most prevalent. The long guns aren't used very often. They are used, and when they are used, they're used with some disastrous circumstances or effects. But the small guns like the 38 or the 9mm and the 40 caliber are the ones.
Okay, we're going to be back to close out the show after these messages. You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer.
For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association. Supporting you.
Some people shoot beer cans, some shoot paper plates, and some, well, some just shoot the breeze. Here at Action Target, we believe there's more to shooting than just putting holes through paper. As the world leader in shooting range design and technology, Action Target has been revolutionizing the world of firearms training for more than a quarter of a century. Go to ActionTarget.com to order your steel targets and range equipment today. That's ActionTarget.com.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
So this is our big opportunity to plug what we got coming up.
Well, we've got a couple things coming up with Safer USA. We have a NRA basic shotgun course going on this coming Saturday in Waterman, Illinois. See saferusa.com to sign up for that. We also, the first weekend in May, May 4th, we have two tactical pistol classes, Tactical Pistol 1, Tactical Pistol 2 in Waterman, and we have an NRA basic pistol course in Bonfield at the ISRA range.
And May 18th, we'll be in Elmhurst with Home Protection Concealed Carry.
Yes, we will.
And May, this still astounds me. People are beginning to think of us as like personalities, which blows my mind. We're going to be in Crystal Lake on May 11th at On Target Range in Crystal Lake, celebrating the first anniversary. And they've invited Tim and I to come up as, I'm assuming it's radio personalities. Now, maybe they're wanting us to sweep up afterward. I'm not sure.
that could be, what time was it? Are we going at 5 o'clock?
I'm not sure. Maybe we're serving drinks. I don't know. But they've asked us to come up on Target Radio, the two co-hosts to come up and help them celebrate the first anniversary and talk to the people who come up to celebrate it with them.
Very cool.
And I think that's very nice.
Also have to remember, we have, again, our 15th annual Clyde Howell Youth Shooting Sports Camp coming up May 31st through June 2nd. Your child, ages 10 through 16, boy or girl, don't need any experience with firearms. We're going to have several events. Small bore, 22 caliber pistol, rifle, archery, shotgun, et cetera, et cetera. It's a camp out. We cook real food. It's not just peanut butter and jelly and chips. We have cook tent with ovens and stoves, and we put all that together. Sign up for that at saferusanfp.org, the Clyde Howell Youth Camp tab.
And we will provide every camper with a Pop-Tart that they can chew into the shape of a handgun.
That's new this year.
That's our newest event this year for the camp. We're going to teach kids to chew those. The joke on this, if you are unaware of it, is wasn't it a kindergartner? Five-year-old kid somewhere out on the left coast there was eating a Pop-Tart, and he chewed it into the shape of a gun. This is a Pop-Tart, and he was suspended from kindergarten for terroristic acts.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
Well, along with our campers, we need adult volunteers. We always need helpers, so you can download the forms for that and fill them out and mail them in at the same time. Of course, no cost to the adult volunteers to come out. If you would like to make a monetary donation, there's a PayPal button on our website that you could donate there. I tell you, the ammunition is expensive this year. It has gone through the roof. We hate to raise the price, but we just had to do it, and we still are going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel.
You're absolutely right. Well, we'd like to thank our guests this evening. Wayne, thank you very much for coming in, and Alan, thank you for coming in. And Ed, as always, we appreciate having your wit and wisdom here and at the Will County chapter of the ISRA. And so we always enjoy talking with you. We'd like to thank Vicki Cohn as our call screener, George Hoffman on the board for making bizarre noises. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Action Target, Pelcher Shooter Supply, Illinois State Rifle Association, 31 Moons, and, of course, Safer USA. Next week, we have a show that I think is very interesting to me. It is the American Jewish Community and Guns. And we have a gentleman who's in, what's the name of the organization?
Oh, I knew forgot. You were going to tell me. It's the JPFO.
Right, Jewish
You're gonna make
Preservation,
like
whatever it is. Anyway, I think it's going to be very interesting. It astounds me that for a group of people who've been...
Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership.
There you go. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. They will be on next week. Until then, friend on Target Radio and Facebook. Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night.
Thank you. We hope we see you next week. And thanks, Mike, for making it all happen.